I chose this hymn for obvious reasons, because it certainly speaks very much about being a soldier of Jesus Christ, being dressed in God's army, Ephesians chapter 6, and we trust in the strength of Jesus. And the third hymn, From Strength to Strength, Go On. Would you turn with me, please, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6? I think, as I thought originally, I'll divide this into two parts. So we're going to go through quite slowly and perhaps continue next week. Ephesians chapter 6, a well-known chapter. It speaks very much about the armor of God and its different parts and what they mean to us spiritually speaking. But in chapter 6, I just want to read just verses 10 through to 12. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through to 12. Finally, because it says so much before, and he wants to end this way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the theme. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or craftiness of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we leave it there. And that means, of course, that we, as believers, unavoidably are indeed in very much a spiritual battle. I don't know when you heard a sermon last on spiritual warfare or the items of God's armor and the battle that we have. It's against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, the devil and his demons. Now, I'd like you to go back, please, to one place in the Old Testament. And Claire was good enough to remind me of this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Just a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 15. The people of Israel, obviously as the Lord was to direct them, were going into their promised land of what was Canaan, now Israel. But they would have to fight against their enemies of the different tribes. They were pagan, and win. But it was a physical battle. We're not in a physical battle. We are in a spiritual war. But here Israel is told what they must do concerning their physical battle against their physical enemies, the tribes that were in Canaan when they reached it. Moses, as the Lord directs him, is the word of the Lord to us, of course. Verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots, people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, which of course he did. The Lord is with us in our spiritual warfare and the battles that we have spiritually. I go to verse 15, please. Verse 18. And he warns that they are to instruct their children. He warns also that the enemies, if they did not defeat them and drive them out, you can see in verse 18, that they would teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. This is a problem that we face in the world. We had a bulletin from Wayne Edwards from America, and the shocking and ghastly things that are happening over there, and they'll come here, and partly they are here. And in fact, the enemy making inroads, as you can see in verse 18, that what is happening in our country, which is what we're concerned about, is that these abominations are being taught by those who are of the wicked one. Well, you don't need me to remind you of that. You've had a lot tonight. They would teach you to do all according to their abomination, which they've done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. If you allow these things to come in, now we can't in fact have a physical battle with them, but it is a spiritual warfare, and they will make inroads, and they will get worse. Jesus said things will get worse and worse. We'll not win through these. Maybe one or two little issues that we can see victory, and we've seen them here. But overall, no. Let's face it. This is not going to be. Things are getting worse and worse, and it leads to the great tribulation time, and we're gone before that. So I'd like to think of going back, please, if you will, to Ephesians 6 again. And I'll spend just a few minutes on this, continue next week. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word strong, there are three words which we can use it from the Greek language. The first one, endunamu, means to be strengthened with ability. We read and saw of Joshua being led by the captain of, or commander of the Lord's army, captain of the Lord's host. And they were in Jericho as a physical battle, but it was also to destroy the false gods of Jericho. There was to be total destruction. Achan stole some of the Babylonish garments, and the Lord had to deal with the whole family. The first word then about being strong in the Lord is that he will give us the strength and ability to serve him against many odds and to stand firm. In Ephesians 6, we're called to stand, to stand, to stand. And having done all, to stand. The Roman soldiers, in their armor that they wore, which, of course, is related in a spiritual sense, they had particular boots on. And in their boots, they had a particularly strong tread that when they stood their ground, they dug their heels in, that's the meaning of the word, and they didn't move. They didn't go backwards. They stood firm or went forwards. And the gospel in shoe leather, that's what we are, and in our witness for the Lord. So we're strengthened with the ability of the Lord, like Joshua and the people in his day were concerning Jericho. And the Lord was with them, and he won the battle. He had the drawn sword, they didn't use them. It's the same with Gideon. Gideon, in fact, you know, he had the jars, he held them, and there was a light inside. They had the sword in their belt, told to smash, the light shone, brought chaos and confusion toward the enemies, and they destroyed each other. They had to stand firm, and they never used their sword. Of course, our sword is the word of God. That's different, I know. So to be strengthened with ability, and in that sense, to prove to the Lord that we are strong by our stand. You then prove, that's the meaning, endunamu, to have the ability and to prove that we have the ability by our standing strong. The church in our country, largely speaking, is very weak indeed. Must be just pure religious Christendom, we know. But believers are still silent. The second word they were concerned with is a word which Paul uses, just as powerful as the first one. And it means to stand in the strength of Christ's might. He is all-powerful. He's going to come and rule here when he does come. And that word in the Greek is kratos. It's a different word, but it means having an outward manifestation of the power that lies within you. A demonstration on your stand for truth, for the word of God, for the gospel, for true Christian doctrine, and upholding Christ in life and limb. That's what it means. I'd like, if you will, just go back to Ephesians chapter 1 for a little demonstration of that. Ephesians chapter 1. And look from verse 19. This is one of two prayers. The next one is in chapter 3. And in that prayer, he prays for the Christians at Ephesus. And he wants to remind them, in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. We're not left on our own. Neither was Joshua, Jericho, and the army. Christ was with them. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's what this word means. Which, what is a demonstration, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and might, and dominion, and every name, not in this age, but one which is to come, and everything is put under his feet. He is the Lord, and we are servants of the Lord in that sense. Sometimes there's a need of physical strength. Abraham was 99. He was promised a son, it was Isaac, of course, when he was 75, he waited 24 years, when he was 99, and Sarah 90. And in Romans 4:20, it says this, Abraham was strengthened in faith and in his body. Yes, of course, that was necessary. Strengthened in faith as well as his body. And he had a son. The Apostle Paul could give a testimony to the strength that the Lord gave him in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a one-time strengthening. We need it all the time. And we need that increasing strength as we grow in the Lord, strong in faith. Paul writes to his young son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, be strong, Timothy, in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Romans 4:20, Philippians 4:13, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. And then the author of Hebrews, when he lists those men and women of faith of the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, he describes those heroes of faith and action as those who were strengthened by God. Of course, we know Samson is a good example of that, although in many ways he was a wayward man. But there are times when the Spirit of God came upon him and he achieved mighty deeds with all his weakness. And all those heroes, in Hebrews 11 and verse 34, if you want to make a note of it, describing those heroes who received strength from the Lord and the stand that they made, as indeed did the prophets and back before in the Judges as well. The third word is the word ischus, I-S-C-H-U-S, and it means to recognize Christ's preeminence and divine, recognizing the preeminence and the Lord's divine strength. Jesus said, I'm with you and I will never leave you. And with you always to the very end of the age, he says. Go out and be my witnesses, for I am the Lord. Well, if you go to Ephesians 6 just for a moment and look at verse 11, we know who our enemy is, and he's very crafty. The arm of God supplied by the Lord so that you may be able to stand, to be able. To be able, that word able is mentioned several places here. To be able to stand. Christ's armor enables us to stand, then having done all to stand against the craftiness of the enemy. He comes in different ways, in different cloaks, as you know. He comes in false religion. He comes in the cults. He comes in apostasy. He comes in direct physical wickedness. Certainly that's true. In Acts 9:22, quoting Paul, soon after his conversion, remarkable one as it was. Acts 9:22, Paul witnesses this, and he says, he increased even more in strength, so that he may witness and preach and travel for the Lord in the calling to preach and to travel, as he did in his calling to serve the Lord. Remarkable. So I'm going to close just in this. Paul urges believers, you and I, to continue to walk closely with Christ in fellowship, as Wayne Edwards said this morning, in fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. Follow me, said Jesus. Take up a cross, deny yourself and follow me. You don't get sermons like that today, do you? Deny yourself, go to death, spiritually speaking. The will of God may be done, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he promises, know your position in Christ. He says we're raised up into the heavenlies. Oh, that's difficult, isn't it? That's where we spiritually are. We're in the heavenlies. That's where we work from. In a spiritual sense, so difficult to grasp, but I agree. I'm difficult with that myself. Pursue fellowship with Christ. Pursue your fellowship with Christ. Growing in Christ is nature. And Christ should be formed in us. That's what Paul was concerned about for believers he knew and wrote to. We are new men and women in Christ. We're different. And we have the power of God to help us. Yes, in our weaknesses, we know that. Know the Lord intimately. Walk in harmony with him. Live and act well-pleasing in his sight. That's growth. When we become strong and we'll do exploits for him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, and I close with this. Be filled with the knowledge of his will, what the Lord wants with your life. What is will for your life? In all wisdom, oh, we need that from the Lord. And spiritual understanding, understanding the will of God for our life, understanding the word of God for our life, that we might be pleasing to him. Fruitful in every good work as we serve. Fruitful, bearing fruit. And increasing in knowing, strengthening with all might, and according to his glorious power. That's reality, but it is spiritual. It's not like the physical battle that Israel faced as they entered Canaan, little by little. It's a spiritual battle. We have an unseen enemy, but his work is seen. But that's it. We have an unseen enemy. He works through physical enemies. We know that. That's the way he does it. And Paul writes, just as I conclude, right at the end of his letter to this rather wayward church at Corinth, And they were. And he says in chapter 16 and verse 13 at the end, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, stand up like men and women and be strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, stand up like men and women and be strong in the Lord. That's very much related to our spiritual walk, our walk with the Lord while pleasing him, growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, walking in harmony, close fellowship with him and follow him and fellowship with him. It's difficult, far from easy, because the enemy we do not see. In the Second World War, when General Montgomery, as he was a general then, when he was fighting in the North African campaign against Rommel, he had a picture of Rommel on his desk. He was a Christian, of course, of his testimony. And he had the photograph of Rommel. He said, I see my enemy, and he will be defeated. I see my enemy, and he will be defeated. 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 And he was. And Montgomery was a godly man, but he knew who his enemy was. But that was physical. We know who our enemy is when he works in different agencies. We know that too. But we know our enemy. And it is spiritual wickedness in high places. And they're also human high places too. I leave it there. Now I'll hand back to Jim. The first word was endunamo. We got the word dynamite or dynamo from it. Endunamo. E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. Endunamo. The second word is kratos. K-R-A-T-O-S. Which means strength and power and might. As an outward manifestation of God's power through our lives. The last word is ischus. I-S-C-H-U-S. And it means recognizing the preeminent power of Christ himself. As Christ lives in us.